Hi. Hey, how you doing? Okay.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the show that you clicked on.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Oh, thank you, Julie. Thank you. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed what the lady says. What the lady says. How are you today, huh? I feel very energized today. Feel like that Energizer rabbit thing that with the batteries in it. Yeah, that's what I feel like. Whenever I shower, I feel so rejuvenated. It's like I'm washing the dirt away, but not just the dirt on my body, but the dirt in the metaphysical air around me. I feel cleansed. I feel good, and I smell good too. I smell like a combination of vanilla, lavender, and burnt toast. It's heavenly, heavenly stuff. There's no substance to this. Don't worry about it. There's going to be no substance today. I blew my load yesterday. Ooh, Ron, what the hell does that mean? That's a phrase I haven't heard in a while. Yeah, all I did yesterday was talk about how we're going from a democracy in this country to a dictatorship, and I was expounding upon that. If you missed it, it's always there. You can click on it from yesterday. And I thank you for letting me get things off my little chesty poo. Because it was ugly. Got ugly. Just got ugly. And it's horrible. But today, nah. Just, I'm good. I'm fine. As I said, I showered. So that's great. I'm concerned about my hair. Are you concerned about your hair? Are you concerned about my hair? How about that, huh? How about a little sympathy here? I'm my hair all of a sudden is tangling. Yeah, I don't understand why. All of a sudden, I change shampoos. Don't change shampoos ever. If you're happy with something, stay with it. Don't try other things. My God, we go through life. Oh, you've got to try. You've got to taste various things in life. No, you really kind of don't. If you're happy with something, just stick with it. I mean, if you have a favorite lawn chair, don't go out and buy a new one. I don't know why I use that as an example. It makes no sense whatsoever. If you're happy with the person you're with, love the one you're with. Just, you know, enjoy them. Don't go searching. Don't always figure there's someone better than him. Well, there usually is. Or there's someone better than her, and it usually is. That would be discontent. Be happy with what you have. If it's working, go with it, man. What's your problem? You're annoying me. Just go with it. Well, I made the mistake of going shopping, and I was in the shampoo section. I don't know how I ended up there. I guess I passed out, and I woke up in the shampoo section, I suppose. And there I am in the shampoo section, as I just said. I said like shampoo section five times in a row. And it's annoying me too. And I'm looking at all the stuff they have in shampoo now. It's not just shampoo. Before, it was shampoo, hair shampoo, and then there was dandruff relief shampoo. Head and Shoulders was the big brand, you know? You got your head, you got your shoulders, you got the stuff from your head ending up on your shoulders. It was a great name for the product. If you got dandruff flakes, you're not looking at your hair, you're looking at your shoulders. Oh, what's this on my shoulders? It's dandruff from my hair. Those were the only two shampoos. Then they started infusing flavors, you know, like strawberry and apricot. You know, did you just eat strawberries? No, I just washed my hair. Oh, that's what I'm smelling. Your hair smells like various types of fruits and food substances. Is that bacon I smell? Yes, it's the new Head & Shoulders bacon flavor. It's tasty. Hope they come out with cheese flavored as well. And for a long time, it was just different fragrances of shampoos. Now, it's a whole new ball game. When you walk into the shampoo section, said it again, there's like 5,000 different shampoos. And not only are the smells different, but now they're concentrating on what's in the shampoo, like keratin and kerosene. No, that's different. Keratin, what does that do? I guess there's carrots in it or something. It's carrot juice. Makes your hair straight and your follicles, you know, stronger and stuff. And there's biotin in it now. Now there's biotin, and that strengthens the hair apparently. And there's all different kind of cat. There's tea. There's green tea shampoo. I don't know why I'm concerned about putting various types of tea in my hair now. I don't know. Now my head has become a stovetop. I don't know what's going on. All kinds of things. Argan oil or something like that, and peppermint oil, and infused into my shampoos, and all of them apparently make your hair hell. Every single one of them make your hair hell. And you can put egg white in it. There's egg white. I don't know what's going on now. Apparently, you can just have dinner, and the leftovers you just put on your head. That's all. Yeah. The eggplant parmesan shampoo. It's makes your hair stronger. Just whatever you didn't eat for dinner, just rub it into your head and on your hair and leave it there for overnight, and you'll smell horrible, but your hair will be well-nourished with extra food. I really don't know what's going on. Or just put dog food on your head. I don't know. I have no idea. Why not? Dog food, hair shampoo. So I'm looking at all the different choices, and I'm intrigued by the green tea shampoo. I figure green tea is supposed to be wonderful for you. Why not put it on your head? I can't pour hot green tea on my head because it would ruin my scalp, and I would be in the hospital with third-degree burns from... You know, Mr. Van Damme, what your head is all scalding red. What happened? Did your hair catch on fire? Or was it sunburn? What happened to you, Mr. Van Damme? I poured green tea on my head. Why? I don't know. 'Cause I thought it would be good for my hair.
Well, just because you come into the emergency room at a hospital with a scalding, burnt head doesn't mean you're not an idiot. You know, you're an idiot. You're just an idiot. We don't even want to treat you, as a matter of fact, because we don't want such an idiot in our emergency room. It could rub off on the other people. Go, just go home. Just go home.
So I'm looking at the green tea shampoo. And I'm looking at the ingredients, and it's got peppermint oil in it. And I thought, oh, this is cool. It's in my gum. Why can't it be in my hair? I want to put gum in my hair, so maybe peppermint. And then I went to the Google thing, the International Highway of Information. It said that the peppermint oil actually stimulates your hair follicles. The peppermint does a number on your head, and you can feel the tingling. And I thought, oh, okay, fine. So I buy this stuff. I brought it home. It was last week, and I
I rub the green tea shampoo into my hair, and I did feel the tingling, and I thought, oh, this is, I can feel it working. I can feel my hair follicles opening up, it's great. This green tea is wonderful. This green tea shampoo. And it came in a green bottle, so it was official, man. You know, green tea shampoo in a yellow bottle. That would be like shampoo with mustard in it. That was not good. But this was like a nice color green bottle. This really enhanced the experience for me. So I rubbed the green tea shampoo into my hair. It's feeling wonderful. It's lathering okay. It's not lathering great. I don't think green tea lathers really well. But it was, you know, it was okay. And I kept it in my hair like for about 2 minutes as it said on the bottle. Leave it in your hair, you know, let it do its thing. You know, just go shopping or something, do something else, you know. Go into the bedroom, close the door and do your thing. And then when you're done, you know. So I get back in the shower and I wash the shampoo out of my hair. And then I put a conditioner in there, just my usual conditioner. And then I go to get out of the shower, and I go to comb my hair out. And the comb will not go through my hair. The comb said, "Hey, I'm not doing this. You're like tangled really badly, bub." And I looked at the top. My hair was like in knots. Now, what did I do differently? I used the same conditioner. It's still my body. What's the only different thing I did? I used the green tea shampoo. This stuff tangled my hair, and I had to get the knots out like I was some kind of a sailor on leave at the docks. I mean, I was just untying knots, and it was scary because that's my hair, man. Am I going to have to cut these knots out? I threw immediately out of anger, I threw the bottle of green tea shampoo into the garbage, and, you know, when you're unhappy with a product, you don't just gently put it in the garbage. You throw it in that garbage. You make sure that bottle gets hurt on the way in. I want that bottle to be hurt, and I'm not gonna pack it up and bring it back to the store. Is this a return? Yeah, I don't. What are you a jerk? You're returning a bottle of shampoo? The hell am I supposed to do with it? Well, don't put it in your hair. So that's my lesson. And see, I, like Barack Obama said, you know, I don't know if Obama was a great president or not. I think he was. He was just a respectable, good man. Boy, do I miss that. But he did. There was a legacy about teachable moments. Like when bad things happen, that's not a time to get upset. That's a time to say, I learned something. Maybe I learned it the hard way, but I'll never forget that I shouldn't be doing this anymore. No more green tea shampoo for me. I bet Barack Obama doesn't use green tea shampoo, and if he did, I bet he learned his lesson about it. It was a teachable moment. And that's what I'm imparting upon you in my sermon today in front of the congregation. This is a life church, this program. Did you know that? The show is a life church. So I've learned today, and my words to you are, if you're happy with something and you know it, clap your hands. Stay with it. Make it your friend. You know it works. You're happy with it. As soon as you go taking a journey away from your comfort zone, bad things can happen. But Ron, maybe there's something better out there and we'll never know it. That's right. What's the problem with that? If you're happy, shut the hell up. Okay.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, winner of every international and global podcasting award Ron has given himself.
He writes them in crayon, on construction paper. It's actually kind of cute.
Today we're going to talk about sleeping. Do you sleep well? I don't. I don't. It's an age thing, I think. I slept really well when I was a child. I never wanted to get out of bed. Never wanted to go to bed. Never wanted to get out of bed. It was a paradox of a sort. But once I was in that bed, all cozy under those sheets, and my mother would say, "Ronnie, get up. It's time for school." It would be every day. It would be a struggle. I loved that bed. I was just so comfy in that bed as a child. It's your secure place. You're in your home. You got your parents there. You're in your bed. You're being taken care of. They feed you. They clothe you. They give you all the stuff you need and then some. It's a lovely time. Unless you're abused, then it wasn't so great. But otherwise, it was great. And the bed was a part of that. Then I became a young adult, and it was the same thing. I didn't sleep as long. I would go to bed even later, sometimes not at all. But when it was time to go to work, I didn't want to get out of bed. And then later on in life, I wanted to go to sleep like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just like, that's how you know that you're done. That's how you know when it's like you have dinner and then you say to yourself, "I'm going to bed." That was exhausting. Chewing my food and sitting at a table eating food, that was exhausting. I think Thanksgiving kind of started that. I would have a Thanksgiving meal, and when it was over, I don't know if it was the tryptophan. There's not enough tryptophan to knock people out, by the way. Just as a side note, Bill Cosby. You can't knock people out with tryptophan from a turkey. He probably tried, but it doesn't work that well. Makes you a little groggy, but you still know what the hell's going on. But I would always take a little nap after a Thanksgiving, and it was always peaceful. Now it's like every day is Thanksgiving. I can have like a bagel or something, and then after that, well, that was exhausting. My indigestion, my system is digesting the food, and it's exhausting. That's my body's exhausted from digesting this food. I need to lie down. It's awful. This will happen to you. If you're not old enough for that to happen, it'll start happening to you, believe me. By the way, the bagel is a very bad example because a bagel actually has a very high glycemic index. That actually like induces false energy into you, and then you crash dive. Anyway, so I don't sleep through the night completely. Also, there comes a point in your life where the doctors are telling you, drink as much water as possible. Keep yourself hydrated, especially when it's hot outside and it's the summer months. Make sure you drink plenty of water, always. I want you sucking on that water bottle 24/7 until your body drowns in water. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. If you don't, then not only shall you die, but everybody around you will die as well. Because that's how important water is. It is the lifeblood of our lifebloods. You must drink water always, continually. If there's no water around, drink out of the toilet. I don't care. Just make sure you're hydrated all the time. So I drink a lot of water because the doctors tell me so. And by the time I lay down to go to sleep at night, my body is just deciding at that point, hey, we've got about 200 gallons of water inside this body here. Let's start releasing it in small increments. Oh, not all at once. Let's not drain the sucker. Let's keep some water in here so he stays hydrated. Make sure that, we got to start peeing here, kids. We got to start peeing. We got to get rid of some of this water. But let's do like maybe a little bit of water every hour. How about that? So that's what happens to the older people, you see. It's called trickle-down economics. And there's a lot of trickling going on. So as a result, in the middle of the night, I usually get up because I've got so much water in me. I mean, I'm like, I actually dream about having to go to the bathroom. Has that happened to you? Come on, be honest with me. Come on, let's form a relationship. Be honest with me. When you're sleeping sometimes and you're in a dream, you know, you're in the cloud, you're in a dream and you know, you're doing something weird in the dream. And in the dream, you feel like you have to pee. And in the dream, you're looking for a bathroom. That happens to me. That happens to me. And then I wake up and I indeed have to go to the bathroom. And I do. But then when I try to go back to, I try to get myself back into the dream that I was in. Do you do that as well? If you have to get up and you figure, all right, now I got to get back to sleep somehow. I got to sleep more. I haven't slept long enough. And then you try to recapture that dream. What the hell was I dreaming about? I was, where was I in a house? Was I walking down the street? What was going on in my dream? What was I doing? I know I had to go to the bathroom, but I can't remember why or where I got to get back in this dream. It was so cool. But you can't find it again. And then when you do find the dream, your mind is working so hard to find the dream that you were in before so you can return to it. Now your mind's working. Now your mind's racing, and now it's all screwed up. It's all messed up. It's all over now. Has that happened to you? No? Not even sometimes? It's just me? Oh.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Cassie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Fantastic. Cassie Ho is a health and lifestyle expert, one of Forbes' top fitness influencers and entrepreneur. She's all the things I'm not. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. I've had conversations about sleep on this program many times. A lot of my listeners actually sleep during the program, so it's an integral part of all of this. But sleep is something that, like, we all experience, spend like almost half our lives doing it, and yet when you get older, beyond your young adult years, you don't sleep that well anymore. Is that natural?
You know, I think as we get older, we start to have more stress, more responsibility.
Yeah.
So, like, 87% of Americans say they have trouble falling asleep. So you're not alone, Ron. But a lot of these things can be related to family stress, relationships, the boss, finances, things like that. So I think all of us really need to try to find that balance in our lives through exercise, through sleeping well, and through eating well, too. Mm-hmm. It's a three-pillar thing for wellness.
Okay. And we're going to talk about in just a second how you can get relief now and then from not being able to sleep. But talking about exercise first, I know exercise makes me sleepy. Do I do that in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening? What's a better time to exercise that would promote my better sleep habits?
So everyone's really different. What I always like to say is that because we're all made up of different molecules and different genes, we have a different prescription for what we should eat and how we should work out. So if you're a morning person, do it in the morning. I personally like doing my exercise in the morning because it sets the tone for the day. I'm going fast, I'm going hard, so I feel more motivated at work. But some people can't get up and they need to sleep, and that's totally cool. do it at night. Or if you don't have time because you have kids, then cool, take your lunch break to do it. I mean, if you can be active at any point in the day, it's awesome.
Okay, all right. Well, that's something I have to do. I'm sorry, but I do. Okay, I'll tell you a little secret of mine, and don't tell anybody else, okay? Sometimes I can't wait to get a cold because then I can take NyQuil. That stuff helps me sleep. But when I don't, but when I don't have a cold, I really shouldn't be taking that. And now I understand there's a way around this.
There is. So there's actually ZQuil, and it's not a pain medication. You don't have to be sick to take it. It really just blocks the histamine so you can fall asleep in about 20 minutes. So if there are those nights, Ron, when you can't fall asleep occasionally, then you can actually take ZQuil. I use it for when I am traveling a lot and I get back to the U.S., and my schedule is just all over the place. It's super whack. So I'll take it, get to sleep, get my 7 to 8 hours, and I'm up the next day like a regular person.
Yeah. Can you take it like if I go to bed and then I'm like wake up like 3 hours later? Is that a good point to take, or do I take it before I go to sleep at night?
I would really suggest having a time that you like going to sleep every night so you can create a schedule, because if you can do that, then your body knows, it's sleep time, and then you hopefully won't have to take anything, so it becomes more natural.
Yeah. Things like that, like exercise and sleeping, that is like a schedule kind of deal, isn't it?
It really is, and you know, a lot of times I have people ask me, like, well, how do I stay motivated for exercise? Well, here's the thing. If you are doing something that you really don't like, for example, I'm not a runner. I'm more of like a Pilates person, so I get super excited when I get to dance or do Pilates, but if I know I have like a scheduled run, like, I am not very happy about that. But choose an exercise that doesn't feel like a chore, something that makes you happy. First of all, that makes it easier to do and a sustainable lifestyle. And then second of all, actually put it in your phone calendar on your planner so that you know, hey, at 7:30 p.m. every night, or, you know, today, I have a yoga class. So then you don't skip out on it, because then it becomes a priority.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, when I can't sleep, I feel like I'm the only one on the planet that's not sleeping at that particular time. Everybody else is sleeping soundly because all the lights are off in their houses. I feel like I'm the only one, but I guess this is something that a lot of Americans go through.
A lot of Americans go through it, and to be honest, I think with the rise of social media and being so accessible on our phones, I find myself also just checking Instagram or Facebook late at night when I really should be falling asleep. So that's why I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I put it away, and then my eyes close, and there we go. No distractions.
Yeah, I used to watch the news before I went to bed, and I stopped doing that because these days, the news, like, really, it's not good for me.
It can get you a little anxious, a little excited.
Yeah,
I feel you.
A little depressed, whatever. Good idea is to stay away from stimulation in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you for all this information. Now, if I want to find out more about ZQuil, how do I get more information? Well, it's available everywhere, isn't it? It's all over the
place. Yeah. I mean, you can buy it at the store, but if you want more info, you can go to ZQuil.com with 3 Z's, ZZZQuil.com.
Oh, that's very cute. I wish I came up with that. Wow.
Right, that's pretty clever. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never thought of that. That's why I'm not an entrepreneur like other people are. All right.
Are a very funny dude. I like you.
Oh, thank you so much. If only I could get more sleep, I'd be more likable, believe me. Well, you're wonderful. Thank you for the information, and great talking to you, Cassie.
You too, Ron. Bye.
Take care. Sleep. Sleeping with a loved one. Sleep. Sleep. Sleeping with 5 different people at once. Sleeping with a contortionist who used to be a medical nurse,
who knows all the parts of the body and how to contort them in various manners. Ah, sleep. Sleeping by yourself, without anybody poking you in the back or yelling at you that you're snoring too much and complaining to the point that it drives you crazy. Ah, sleep. I'm going to take some Z-Quil now, and I'm going to sleep for an extended period of time. Ah, sleep. Yes, there's a large elephant chasing me down the street as I run into a cheese factory. And there I am surrounded by a bunch of army tanks. And when they shoot their giant cannons, all that comes out are soap bubbles. And inside the soap bubble is a little piece of I don't even know what it is. It doesn't look like a rock or a stone. I think it's a kidney bean. That's what it is. And now the kidney bean is growing to the size of a football field, and it's engulfing me, and I'm stuck inside the kidney bean, and I can't get out. Then there's a knock on the outside of the kidney bean, and I say, come in, and in comes a fairy godmother with a wand who waves it over my face, and immediately I am served a hot dog with all kinds of relish. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Being chased down the street by a giant pair of pants, one leg at a time. And the legs are catching up to me, and one of the legs surrounds me, and I can't get out. I am stuck in a leg of a pant. An Alaskan fisherman cuts me loose from the pant, and I am free.
Listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Lovely, lovely day. It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? Oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, what a beautiful morning. I feel like I want to go gardening today. Yeah. I want to plant vegetables. The ones in the store are too easy. Yeah, you walk into the grocery section of a store there, the produce section. It's not produce, it's the produce. And you buy a green pepper, red pepper, yellow pepper, blue pepper, green size pepper, black pepper. You buy some onions, zucchini perhaps, a yellow squash, if you dare. It's too easy, man. It's too easy. I want to grow my own. I did that once, decades ago. I was Farmer Ron, and there was a patch of land behind my house.
And I tilled it till it was tilled. And I planted the seeds of life. And from that seed came a stalk, a green stalk. And it became a plant with leaves. And from that plant came an eggplant. I planted an egg and an eggplant came out. And green peppers and zucchinis and cucumbers and marshmallows and fully grilled steaks. That's when I knew I was a real farmer. And then I went into my barn where the chickens were. I was raising chickens. They were very low. I raised them up a little higher. I built a platform for them. And I looked at those chickens running around the cage and I said, "This is not right. This is not right. Chickens should not be caged. That's for criminals. And none of these chickens have done anything wrong. Sure, they possess small amounts of marijuana, but that's no reason they should be caged." So I opened up the cage and I said to the chickens, "Run free. You are cage free." And the chickens started running all throughout the land. I lost all my chickens, but they were cage free. And now when I go to the supermarket, to the egg section, the section of eggs, I see printed on the plastic egg carton the words, "Cage free chickens." And I say to myself, "Oh, I was the one that started that. I let them go. I was the Abraham Lincoln of my day for chickens." But then I wondered, if they're cage-free and they are allowed to roam aimlessly throughout the land, how do you get the eggs? How do you gather them if the chickens are now all over the place? Isn't that a lot more effort on the part of the chicken raiser? I think so. I think so. So now when I go to my backyard and I see all the fanciful fruit, or the green peppers, the red peppers, the eggs, the eggs plants, the pickles, the fine herbs or herb, and the tomatoes, fresh off the vine. They're fresh off the vine. And I bring them into my home and I put them on a plate. And I cut into them to eat my fresh vegetables. And inside I find a multitude of surprises, such as little black bugs, worms, strange little insects from another planet. They have all invaded my homegrown vegetables. I can't eat them. And as a matter of fact, I squirm, I scream, and I run out of the house. I run out screaming, "Oh my God, I wonder if I ate one of these bugs or these worms by mistake." I get in my car and I drive down to my local supermarket, to the produce section. And there I know I will find no bugs inside my vegetables, because they have been carefully treated, sprayed with insecticides from all different lands. But it's better than opening up a tomato and finding a worm in there. So I guess you choose your poison, ladies and gentlemen. And then you ask yourself a question that you've been pondering for quite some time. Why do I have a British accent when I'm not from England at all? I'm from New York, now living in Massachusetts. Why am I talking like this? All right, that's enough. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I wish you peace.